Well, good morning, Fusion City Church. What an incredible privilege it is for me to be with you today. It's an absolute honor to just come and share with you guys, and to Matt and Jill, just thank you for inviting me and for your trust. And I just pray today that I could be a blessing to you guys as I bring the word of God. Hope you're all doing well in your time of just being at home, but I hope you're not just being at home. These are times where no matter what happens, we can experience God in a very, very special way. Many of you know my story, and some of you may not, but in 2016, our eldest son Chris was killed by a lightning strike at a youth camp, and he went to be with the Lord. And the pain is really deep even now. 4 years down the track, it doesn't get easier. I've been on a cancer journey, and post that cancer journey, I have a viral infection now that's affected predominantly my vision, and so it's affecting my sight. And so life hasn't been that easy, and in many ways I feel like I've been in quarantine for a couple of years, in and out of hospital, and then just at home, staying away from people so that my immunity would not be compromised. And so, it's been tough, and yet I want to say to you, God is God all the time. He's good all the time. He's God when we're in the palace of favor, but he's also God when we're in the furnace of fire, like the Hebrew boys in the Bible, that when they're in the palace of a king, they experienced a great sense of favor from a heathen king. But then that same king threw them in a fiery furnace, and God was with them in that furnace, just like he was with them in the palace. He was with them in the fire. And I just want to say to you today that God is good all the time, and he might not always give us the answers we want, but he'll give us the answers we need. And I'm so grateful today to just share from the word of God. While I was in hospital for long periods of time, I felt really challenged by God to study the book of Acts. And for about 4 years before that, I felt change was coming. I felt church was going to be done quite differently in the future, and I felt there was a reformation coming to the church, and some things were going to drop away, and we were going to see God do some very fresh and new things, not knowing what's upon us now. And now I can see why God led me to the book of Acts, to study chapter by chapter and see how much we've diverted in the modern church away from what Jesus wanted us to remember and activate in our time. And so, it was many years ago, I heard of a reporter in New York, in America, going out and doing a research on, is Christianity dying? And he asked the question. He was an atheist himself, and he was asking the question, is Christianity dying? And the conclusion, after much research, he came back and said, you know what? I don't think Christianity is dying. It's just being clarified. It's just being clarified. And friends, I think that's a good way of putting it. I believe that Christianity is being clarified. And the worldview as Christians that we're meant to have from a Bible base is coming to the forefront again. And we're going to see God do some amazing things. Jesus said he would build his church his way, not our way. In fact, recently while I was in prayer, I felt God say, I said I would build my church. I'm just not building yours. And I thought, well, God, what do you mean by that? And he said, well, sometimes you can build the things I've never asked you to build, or build differently to my pattern. And so God is building his church, and I want to partner with him and let him build. And so some of the things I'm going to talk about, I pray will resonate with you as we look at the word of God together. Of course, I can only summarize things and might raise more questions, but everything I'm saying has a background of research in the Word of God, and happy for questions to be asked later on, but pray you hear my heart. I'm not an expert. I haven't taken anything from books or other people's research, not that that's wrong, but I felt to just go to the Word of God myself and work my way through, and I just pray that the authenticity of that will be clarity to you today. For the last 5 years, or even a little bit more, I've seen a growing unsettledness in the body of Christ in the Western world. I've seen people saying, I'm not sure that this is what it's all about. We are looking for authenticity. We're looking for real. We're looking for that which works. And friends, Christianity was never just meant to be a religion or just a spiritual belief system. It was meant to be a worldview. And I believe as we allow that worldview to come to the surface, we can see dramatic change, not just within the church, but outside the four walls of the church. You know, we've had the gospel of the church for such a long time that could look a little different than the gospel of Jesus. We need to get back to the Bible. We need to get back to God's authority. You know, Jesus is Lord, but the Word is the living Word. The Word of God is Jesus. You can't separate the Word from Jesus. They are one. And so when we apply the Word, we're applying Jesus, if we do it in context and correctly. And so just to share with you, if you're taking notes today, five things that I saw just recently, and this is just a summary of so much that I could share, but five things I saw that hopefully will make sense in my overview of the early church. And I see these postures rising up again in the church that we're about to see unfold before us post-COVID-19. Number one, what I saw in the early church is that they were self-starters. They were self-starters. Too many people are doing Christianity through other people's opinions. Too many people are doing God through what they see at the church when we gather, which is not totally wrong, but it's not the whole story. You know, Christ followers, not just churchgoers, is what we're going to see arise really, really soon. And, you know, corporate convincing cannot override personal convicting, personal conviction, personal conversion. I'm really saddened by how much is on YouTube today in the name of God that seems to contrast other views about God. And I've never seen a generation get more confused about what is truth. They're either one day into this and another day into that. And many people probably don't even listen to their own leaders because they think they're getting a better version of Christianity on YouTube. And the sad thing is that an and is great, but an or is not. You know, if you know what your convictions are, then you can add to those convictions. There's an and. There's even a questioning of your convictions, but that only makes you stronger. But when you're not clear of your own convictions and you're doing God in corporate convincing, but there isn't a personal convicting, then we are going to be confused. And I believe we're going to see a fresh move of God, many young people rising up and people of all ages saying, I want to personally be a self-starter. I see a season where discipleship starts with the seeker, not the speaker, where I see that people are going to get hungry to embrace the Word of God and hunger for teaching, like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, who questioned what was being taught, not to attack or criticize, but to grow, to learn, and to be taught. And so I see a new move of God, of discipleship that is organic, and it starts with self starting, not just being told something from a platform. And of course we need that, and we need to be taught. And so it's not the power of or, it's the power of and, as I said. But I believe the early church was self-starters. When they heard the gospel, when they heard the apostles' teaching, their hearts were touched and quickened, and they said, what must we do? What must we do? And I believe we're going to have that kind of, not what will the church do for me, but what must we do as part of the narrative in this next move of God that I believe is going to happen before my eyes and your eyes. Number two, I see a church that is more socially aware. So number one, a self-starting church. Number two, socially aware, not just program-driven. You see, friends, programs may keep you in the church, what we call the church, the building, or, you know, the organized church, but it's only biblical pattern that will keep us in Christ. I don't want to just be kept in church. A lot of people can't wait to get back because they think it's all going to happen at the building. But you see, I am the church. You are the church. I am ministry. You are ministry. And I want to say today that there's a more organic Christianity coming to the surface. It might be less trimmings, and it might even be a little less trendy, but yet it's going to be socially aware, driven by the need of others, not personal need. You know, in Matthew 25, there were giftings that were given out to three different people, and they were asked to multiply what they'd been given. Not copy what someone else had been given, but multiply what each individual person had been given. If you're given 5,000 talents, well, you were asked to double that. If you're given three, you were asked to double that. And one person was given 1,000 and he was meant to double that. And the giftings that we've been given are meant to be multiplied. But if you read the context, those gifts are never given to us for our ministry sake. They're not given to us so we can be recognized about our talents. They were given so that those in prison would be set free, that the broken would be reached. And just like Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Our giftings are given upon us and given to us so we can go out and heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free. And our gifts are not for us. Our gifts are for others. And I see this organic awareness, this awareness that we need to give our life away for others. And, you know, we don't just go and I'm the youth leader or I'm the assistant pastor or I'm this. No, I'm part of the team and my God shape and my giftings are these, and I'm going to give these giftings away so we can be aware of the needs around us and organically serve one another. If we have to program everything, then it's the church robbing from us that ability, the organized church robbing from us that ability to be the church. Do you know, the more I looked at the New Testament, I realized that the teaching happened as they gathered under one roof, but the miracles happened when they scattered, not when they gathered. We've become a church that want the miracles to happen when we gather. And yet in the New Testament, the miracles happened when they scattered and they went out. We need miracles in our universities. We need miracles in our workplaces, in our schools, and we need to be the church in those places. And I believe God has rattled us a little bit so that we don't rely on a program, but we need to be personally connected in an organic way with all the needs around us, both within the family of faith and outside the family of faith. And the early church were that organic, and they were socially aware. They understood, which is number three, which I've sort of touched on, they understood gather and scatter. You know, in Acts chapter 1, they were looking up to the sky, those early apostles, as Jesus was taken into heaven, and there came a point when an angel said, look, get your head out of the clouds, you know, and go back into Jerusalem and operate in the gift that's been given to you and the power that's been given to you. Sometimes as a Pentecostal Christian, or referred to as from that part of the body of Christ, we talk a lot about the day of Pentecost. We talk about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes I think we make an idol of the upper room, where we just want to keep gathering at the upper room, keep gathering at the upper room. But they gathered in the upper room so they could scatter when they got out of the upper room. Sometimes I feel like we're running, you know, tours to the upper room, you know, as it were. You know, come and see where it happened. Come and see what happened there. It happened there. The revival happened there. And I'm all grateful for that. And that's part of the story. But there's got to be a scattering from the gathering. And when they went out and scattered from their gathering, that's where the miracles happen. Peter and John, they're on their way to church, and the miracle happened outside of church in the healing of a crippled man, and then they took him to church. That's what I mean about organic Christianity that's just not organized as a program. I'm so concerned that even the word discipleship for many people is a program that I go to. I'm going to discipleship tonight. Discipleship is an organic love for Jesus, for each other, and we have a learning posture, and we get mentored not just by a person that's appointed to us, but by the Word of God. We get mentored by God Himself, by the Holy Spirit, by the people around us. It's organic. It's happening all the time. It's 24/7, and I think it's that kind of organic church that I believe we're going to see more and more of post-COVID. I think it's fantastic what God is preparing us for. You know, we need to be hungry to receive, but committed to respond. So many times we just want to come and be touched in the upper room, and we want to receive the touch of the Holy Spirit. That's great, but we've got to be committed to respond. The world needs our worldview. We are the light of the world, not the light of the church. We're the salt of the earth, not the salt of the church. And so, of course, we've got to be those things in the church, but we've got to go beyond church community. And the book of Acts, I think it's chapter 8, where it says, after they were persecuted, wherever they went, powerful things happened. You know, sometimes we employ people to do ministry, but they haven't had a wherever they went posture. And we should never fill holes or put people into places because once they get the time and they're paid by the church, then these things will happen. No, we need to be Christians, not just churchians, that wherever we go, we are who God called us to be. That kind of organic New Testament church I see happening real soon. People are tired of just organized religion and they want that heart connection, the realness, and that organic church to rise. It wasn't just organizational. In fact, again, number four actually says that they operated organically, not just organizationally. They didn't divide the spiritual needs from the physical. It all flowed together. In Acts chapter 6, we see that when they're selecting people to serve on tables, they needed to be full of the Holy Spirit, people of integrity and full of faith, because that's just as spiritual as standing in a platform preaching. When I got cancer and I couldn't go to church and I couldn't preach in a behind a pulpit, I felt God say to me, "You don't need a pulpit. I'll always make sure you have a platform." Every Christian doesn't need a pulpit necessarily. We need a platform. And of course, some of us are called to speak behind pulpits like the leaders of the church. But please hear my heart here. If I never stand behind a pulpit, I will always have a platform because I am the church. I don't just go to church. And I think so many people can't wait to get back together, But do you want to get back together for the structure, the organization of the church that does Christianity sort of for you? Or do we want to get back together because we miss each other, we love each other, and we want a New Testament submitting to one another and connecting with one another? I think we cannot walk away from coming together physically eventually because it's corporate worship that brings down incredible anointing from God, and it touches our hearts and it touches the people around us. But we also need correct teaching. And let me tell you, the Bible is very clear that in the last days there'll be so many false teachers. And we need the people that love us, that will give an account for our soul to God, our senior covering, not control, to actually bring us the correct teaching of God's word. Because otherwise there's three voices that speak to us every day, our flesh, the enemy, and God. And if we don't know which one's speaking, we could think it's God and totally miss it. And so we need to be covered by those that will give an account for our soul and bring correct teaching. And we need to connect for friendship. I'm dying for the day when we get back together for corporate worship, for correct Bible teaching, and a connection with one another around food and just doing a bit of life together. Organic church. They did it in the book of Acts. And I've always carried a conviction about those things. But then there's the scatter. And, you know, that's when we, I believe, down the track, we'll be able to meet in smaller groups and we pray for one another. We do the one anothering. We pastor one another. We have communion together. And we don't bring the apostles' teaching. The apostles bring the teaching, or the apostolic leaders bring the teaching. But we give ourselves to that. And I see pastors, zooming into meetings where people are gathered just to encourage them and say, "Hey, pray for this," and have that organic connection. And so there's the gather and the scatter. And in the scattering, that's where ministry is done. And sometimes we pay people to do ministry where ministry is every believer. And that's, again, the New Testament church, every believer devoting themselves. Organic Christianity. I think one of the dangers, guys, I hope you love me when I say this, but our altar calls haven't altered a lot of people's calls, because we tell people to come and receive Jesus, but people don't know what it means to sit down. According to Luke 14, nobody can be my disciple unless you sit down, count the cost, see if you can finish this. And we don't do that in our own strength. The Holy Spirit is given to us to help us walk that journey out. So we're never alone. But, you know, we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace for good works, so we can be the representation of Jesus on the earth. And so I really see that gather and scatter anointing coming with clarity to the church as we move forward in this new era. And the early church did that. Number five, they trusted oversight. There's no trust today. People don't trust leadership, and for lots of good reasons. There's a lot of crazy stuff happening out there. And I used to say to our church years ago, if you don't believe, I'm going to give an account for your soul, Hebrews 13:17, and God's going to hold me responsible for covering you because I love you, then don't be under my covering, because if I bring some level of loving correction, you're going to think I'm controlling you. And so it's important that we choose the people we follow. And I know, the heart of your leaders. I know the heart that Matt and Jill, you have, and I know you love your people. I know you care about them and you're passionate about them. And I just believe, guys that are watching today, you're safe in a house like this, because Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. In other words, if I'm not imitating Christ, don't imitate me. And I genuinely believe that by following what these guys are leading you with, you're going to be a follower of Jesus. There'll be no division there. And I believe they laid everything in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, they laid everything at the apostles' feet because they trusted what was going to be done with what they laid at the apostles' feet. Trust is gone today out of the church because of so much carnality, flesh. But guess what? Jesus is coming back for a beautiful bride. I'm not negative about this stuff. I think bring it on. It was 15 years ago, God showed me out of the book of Hebrews 7 shakings that God was going to bring on the earth. And right now they've all happened. And I believe in the prophetic, but the Bible says you've got to test it. And you've got to make sure, according to the word, that it's correct. And I believe right now we're in some shakings, but God never shakes to hurt. God shakes to heal. And so there's a healing of the church. There's a release of the church coming in ways like we've never seen before. And the last point here out of the book of Acts that I'm summarizing with is that the focus in the New Testament was on Jesus, not on vision. Today we've had, well, not today, but the last 30 years, vision, vision, vision. And there's nothing wrong with vision. But let me tell you, we're not called to preach vision. We're called to preach Jesus. And as we preach Jesus, he gives us vision. You know, God comes looking for us. We don't have to chase vision. We chase Jesus. And as we chase Jesus and we get connected to him, he speaks. He opens doors. I never decided one day I'm going to travel the world. I'm going to do this. I'm going to preach here. I'm going to preach here. No, I'm just going to walk with Jesus. And as I walked with Jesus, he went before me and opened the doors. That's not just for Danny. That's for every Christian that is a Christ follower. See, we've had a lot of churchianity, but we haven't had Christianity. See, churchianity is a churchgoer. Christianity is a Christ follower. I've noticed that churchians are easily offended. Man, they get so offended over the littlest of things. But, you know, Christians are easily extended because God allows things to happen in our lives that we don't always find comfortable, but they grow us. When I got cancer, God gave me James chapter 1. It says, you know, when tests of any kind come your way, count it all joy because your endurance is being tested, or your faith is being tested, and your endurance has a chance to grow. And it says, and let it fully grow. And I want to tell you, there's things happening in my life physically right now I don't particularly like, but I do know my endurance has grown. And I know that my walk with Jesus has become deeper. So let's not try to push away problems. You know, John, who wrote the book of Revelation, was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day on the Isle of Patmos. He was nowhere near a great church. He was on a mad island where people had been sent into exile to die there. And he goes, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. You know, church can be anywhere. It can be in the car. It can be anywhere. Now, that's not an excuse to give away coming together corporately, because the Bible gives us the one another responsibility to come together corporately. But it's going to be different in the future. It's not just parking your blessed assurance on a seat on Sunday, singing a few songs and going home. It's not going to church, it's being the church. I can't say it enough. And I believe the organic flow of that is going to absolutely build your life. And in the last 2 years, I've hardly been to church because of illness, and yet I've been to church all the time. I've been with God all the time. Some people, through what's happening right now, are going to say, I don't need to go to church, I just do church online. That is totally unbiblical, and I haven't got time to explain it, but trust me, it's totally unbiblical. Some people just want to come back to the programs of the church. They'll always be needy people. They'll always, it'll never be enough, because needs, when we come centrally looking inward, it becomes about our needs. But when we become Christ followers and Christ seekers, oh man, what's going to happen? And I believe that Jesus is building his church, and he's bringing in a really healthy dissatisfaction in so many, so that we can rise up and find satisfaction in the pattern that he has for his church. You know, and we need to preach Jesus, and vision will come. You know, Jesus said, if I am lifted up, not our vision, he will draw people to himself. And you know, just a week or so, maybe two weeks ago, I was talking to the Lord, and this is what came into my mind, that Jesus was saying to me, hey, it's my responsibility to build the church. And the size of a church is up to God. You know, the size, but the substance of a church is up to us. And I think we're going to be giving ourselves to more substance than size, not just counting how many campuses, counting how many this, counting how many. Let Jesus build his church, but let's build the substance and see what happens. Because you see, I think, and this may sound a little bit strong, and I certainly don't want it to, but I actually found that the church of the Western world today, and I've just wrote it down here, the church of the Western world is a lot more like the people in the wilderness than the early church. When you look at the children of Israel in the wilderness under Moses' leadership, they were selfish. And you look it up and you'll see why. I haven't got time to explain it. The early church was selfless. In the Old Testament, the church of the children of Israel were greedy, where in the New Testament they were giving. Self-protection in the wilderness, self-denial in the book of Acts. Faithless in the wilderness, faithful in the book of Acts. Demanding in the wilderness, devoted in the book of Acts. Attacking in the wilderness, affirming in the book of Acts. Lack of trust in the wilderness, the things they said to Moses, unbelievable. Full of trust in the early church as they gave themselves to the apostles' teaching. Murmuring in the church of in the children of Israel, ministering in the book of Acts, complaining in the wilderness church and confirming in the early church, dishonoring in the book, in the wilderness and honoring in the book of Acts. And I could go on and on and on. And really, when I look at the children of Israel, the modern church and the pastors that are having breakdowns because they are not meeting their people's demands, so many that are saying, I don't want to go back to that. We don't want to go back to that. We want a biblical model. Well, I'm just grateful that Matt and Gil, you're committed to the Word of God, and Jill, sorry, and know that you're so in love with truth and what you're building. Keep going. Father, I pray for this wonderful group of people. And thank you, Lord, they have moved into a new facility, and it's not that we don't need those things. And thank you that they've done it right, and all those things bring blessing to our lives, and we need the place to gather. And I thank you for that. But Lord, I pray that this house will be an equipping house where people can scatter no matter where they go. Father, we just celebrated Pentecost Sunday. Father, can we please have Pentecost Monday? Pentecost Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday. God, let us be a people that organically are like that early church and be the church that you died for. Father, thank you for this wonderful house. Father, I pray, in fact, Matt, I just feel right now that you've carried things in your heart. You've carried burdens. You've carried a heart for how it should be. And it's like now you're beginning to see, well, it wasn't just me. It wasn't just me holding back, or, you know, and no longer will you even feel, not that you've felt this, but you don't need to compare with anyone, but just build what God's put in your heart, because it is authentic and it is for now. And I just pray, Father, that, Lord, you will take this house, Lord Jesus, Fusion City Church, and let it be a shining beacon for you. And Father, let people see that if they come to this group of people, they're not going to be hoodwinked into silly things, but they're going to see the whole balance of who you are, God, and what your church should look like. Father, I pray for these guys. I just pray for huge blessing. And Father, may we all together as one rise up and be your church, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, guys, it's been great being with you. I know I've rushed through a bit, and there's a lot to cover. I mean, this is months and months and months of research. But I hope that you can just see and hear my heart, that the best is yet to come for God's church. And let me say this, our gospel has to be connected to eternity. We can't just promise everybody blessings down here without our eternal hope. And that's one thing I didn't mention earlier, but just to say, hey, we need eternal hope. We can't give people false hope, but we can give people eternal hope. And yes, God heals and God touches people, but what happens if he doesn't do it the way we want? He's still God. I would like to be healed right now, and please keep praying for me. But whichever way it goes, I ain't walking out on God, because I know he rose from the dead, and I know that eternity is my promise. And let it be yours too. Bless you. God bless. Take care.